That cake was really good. It's going to be super difficult to top that.
How about a podcast?
Tasty.
It's Tom Matt Attack. Oh, look at that. We actually planned an intro for once. It wasn't just top of mind. Well, it kind of was.
We didn't make that up at all. We've just eaten some cake.
We did, yeah. For those of you keeping up to date with Matt's health hints of the week, I'm not eating that much sugar, but it was I had a little bit of a morsel with a tiny, tiny fork.
It's kind of funny because you had kind of...
The tip.
Half cake and half a fork.
Yes. I did. It's only got two prongs. Is that half a fork or like... A quarter of a fork?
Well, a fork has four prongs. That has two prongs.
Well, so sometimes you can get a fork with three prongs, though. You know, like
something. That's actually for meat, I think.
Yes, I believe this is a serving fork of some description. It's good. Utensils aside, Tom Parry, how are you doing?
Not so bad. Enjoyed last weekend being back in the UK. That is why we didn't have a podcast.
Yes.
A trip back.
Much to my regret, as soon as I turned off the microphone, you were just like, oh yeah, we won't be here next week. I was like, oh, okay. Well, that was good that I promised there would be no breaks.
I went to see Sparks in Manchester. Fantastic.
Did Sparks fly?
They did. They were incredible. Really incredible. And when I mentioned this to people, you know, I said, where have you been? Oh, I went to a concert. I went to see Sparks. And they go, who were they? And I didn't actually realise, because in my head... You know,
yeah.
I know who they are, and I thought they were reasonably famous, but I imagine, you know...
Again, as I did at lunch the other day, when someone looked at you blankly, I had to go, who's down in Pickering, full of
and I've had to sing that song a lot lately.
Yeah,
just
I bet.
Who they are. And even then, some people none the wiser, but maybe it's just the age group.
Probably.
I hope maybe they're introduced to a bit of a younger age group now with their new album.
Yeah,
which
maybe.
Which is very good.
That Hippopotamus song you sent me, John. I can't lie. It reminded me very much of the kind of songs that people would associate with They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, I think they, you know, they've got some similarities, the two bands.
I don't know if I was on board.
No. Oh, it's fun.
I mean
that isn't representative of the whole album.
But it's kind of like, you know, Weeble Tunes, Badger, 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 Badger. For me, is perhaps a better tune in that weird genre. I don't know.
If you're curious as to the rest of the album, some more variety on there.
I might give it a listen. But then again, Tom, equally, I might not. So, while you were doing that, I went to a flea market. I had no expectations, because those who listen to this podcast over the year will know that my podcasting / flea marketing this year has been a bit... rubbish. I've not really got that much in flea markets. However,
and that is where you buy the majority of your games. You're not like me jumping on eBay every week and seeing maybe... Actually, I did that the other day and I thought, I got this list of games.
Yeah.
I don't really desperately want any of these right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of thought, nah.
Like, I mean, I do have a very short list of Game Boy games that I still need to complete my American collection. But at the same time, they're all crap sports titles that are about $3, $4 in the States, and then the shipping and import tax would make them about $30. And I'm like, I don't really want to pay that for NFL 2000.
You have to really be feeling it at the time, because when I made this list and certain games weren't on that list, it was when I was really wanting to play them.
Yes.
Right now, you know, you change what you want to do from time to time, don't you? So
you do, yeah, on occasion.
And then something would just come along, like this morning I had mentioned that there's a game called Devilish, don't you, if you know that game. It's on the Game Gear, maybe some other consoles.
Yes.
Sort of a bit like Breakout, where you're moving the ball around, but you can... There's a version of it on the DS.
Oh, okay.
I heard that mentioned. Found it on eBay. Yep.
£3?
No, £9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'd not seen the game around, actually.
I've seen it for the Game Gear. I didn't know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But
anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
No, okay.
You went to this flea market.
So I went to this flea market, and I had very, very low expectations. I was kind of going there just because it was in the town we work in, namely Billund. And I was like, oh, well, maybe there'll be some
cool
toys.
Not much usually happens
stuff.
There. Other no. than if it was last week.
Yes, exactly.
Last week, sorry.
Yes. Sometimes there's fun and frivolity, but we went there because as we were driving into work, there's usually a speed camera, and by this, where the speed camera usually is, it said, oh, Scouts Lopper Market, which is a flea market here in Denmark. I was like, okay, Scouts markets are usually pretty good because what they do is it's all the crap from the local area that's too good to... People believe, anyway, it's too good to be given to charity, so they donate it to the Scouts. The Scouts then look at it and go, okay, blanket prices on everything or some certain things. For example, they had the Lego Birds set from Lego Ideas.
A rarity, isn't it?
Well, I mean, it was out last year. It's not produced
anymore.
Yeah,
not available anymore.
I worked on that, so I typed them words that went on the tiles, and I gave mine to my dad because my dad is an avid bird watcher. Mm. We have lots of bird feeders and stuff at the back, and he really liked it. And to be honest, it was probably the first Lego set that I've given him that he's ever built and really loved.
Nice. I've done that with my dad before. He built the Lord of the Rings ship, the big one from one of the films.
Yes, I know the one you're talking about with the ghosts.
And it's unusual he'll build things like
So that happened, and so I saw this, and I was like, oh, how much is that? And he was, it was something like £200 they wanted for it. Mm. And I was like, no, you're all right.
That seems a little bit much.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, the weird thing about it was as well was there was a huge, literally a giant hall, right, full of furniture, so as well as like tables and chairs, I mean things like rugs and clothes. Mm-hmm. And then they had like a massive thing of toys.
Yeah.
There was no Lego on that toy table and there's no games on there either. So I looked at it, I was like, I can't see anything that would immediately yell out to me like Starcom or Transformers. I'm going to risk it and run into the other room because it's probably where the electronic stuff is. And it was. But I saw the Lego stuff after that and they were kind of like on its own table, as in like, oh, we have Lego here. And all of it was vastly overpriced. So I was like, oh, well, I won't be getting any of that. But the games, Tom Parry, were a very reasonable price. Mm-hmm. They had literally if you were to go into, say, any electronic shop, and they have those big pallet-sized plastic tubs of DVDs that would be on offer. Those.
I know what you mean.
But with
like
PS2.
Blue City.
Yes. Just like a big dump bin full of games.
Yeah.
They had some PlayStation 1 things, nothing very good. You know, some licensed games and mainly sports, mainly like a FIFA or whatever. But they had stacks and stacks of Xbox and PS2 games. Yeah. And I was like, oh, baby, because I looked at it and I was just like, that's a rows and rows of PS2 games. I'm sure I'll find a copy of Way of the Samurai in there.
And did you?
No, I didn't. Oh. First thing that came to my hand, though, was a copy of Mambo, which is quite a rare Phoenix game.
Say it again.
Mambo. it's a Bomberman clone. And so I was like, okay, cool. Well, this just made now, this trip worth it.
It's a Bomberman clone with an elephant.
Yes, and a small child. And kind of like weird monkeys and tigers. And
is that a Phoenix game?
Yes, it is, Tom Parry. How did you guess? But it's the first one that came to my hand. I was flicking through some other stuff then, and they had Samurai Warriors 2. They had a copy of Lemmings for the PS2 with a manual. So I was like, yay! This one doesn't.
You had one?
I had one, but the disc was absolutely battered and it didn't have a manual. Yeah. So I was like, okay, cool. I'll upgrade that copy.
Oh, you've got it. It's Lemmings.
Yeah, copy of Dirge of Cerberus, Battlefront 1 and 2 and Forces Unleashed, and a game called 22 Party, which was published by 505 Games, and it's one of the simple 2000 Japanese like budget releases.
Oh, you wouldn't know that from the cover, would you?
You would not, because it is just a load of teens looking like, oh, we're having fun, could we teens? It's probably the most stock-ass stock photo I've ever seen.
22
party written in like a weird like bubble Disney font.
But the games,
it's just 20 party games, so I'm going to subject you to that and then we'll film and Tom and Matt attempt, I guess. But they also had
a best worst game, you mean,
or a best worst game, either or. I don't know, Tom, look at that stock 40 stock photo on the front. I think it's going to be a classic. But there was some good Xbox games, a spare copy of Panzer Dragoon Orta, because it's one of the Xbox games I can't find of my own. Grab of the Ghoulies, The Hobbit, Halo 1 and 2, because believe it or not, I don't own a copy of Halo 1, because I had it on the PC.
Did you get the Master Chief Collection?
Yeah, I did, but No, I didn't actually. I've got the anniversary edition thing, but I don't have it on the Xbox. And in my head...
Well, that's... Isn't... No.
What's backwards compatible? Something is.
Halo is. Halo 2 is as well. It's just not got online multiplayer.
On the 360.
Yeah. Republic Commando, and I got you a copy of NHL Rivals 2014. Mm. So yeah, all in all, pretty good. Like, I paid, like a fiver for those.
Yeah.
So that's all right.
I think that's very good. Congratulations.
Yeah, they were 3 for £10, I should mention. So £3 for £1. And so I was like, okay, cool. I'll hoover the stuff out of here. Our friend from work, Ricardo, got a nice box DS.
Ricardo really has a lot of stuff. You know, when I see his store there at Copenhagen Toy Fair or whatever it is he's at. What is it?
Is he at a toy fair?
I saw a picture on Instagram this morning.
Oh, okay.
He's a guy we both know, mutual friend from work. And he has a huge collection of retro toys and games and such. And he often sells some at events. And he has a lot of stuff, you know, when you see it all laid out together like that.
Yeah.
And the variety of things. Where does he put it?
I'm not quite sure. I don't know.
Does he have a museum?
No, I mean, he does an Instagram thing of like one good memory a day, kind of taking pictures of these things.
Nostalgic toys and games.
Yeah, but he has lots of stuff apparently back home, he was telling me, in Portugal. He has lots of vintage Sega stuff, was his thing growing up.
Mm. Well, I've seen a fair few Saturn games.
Yes.
I have a Portuguese Saturn game, the Dragon Ball Z fighting game. I don't know if it's got a subtitle or not, I can't remember. But it wasn't released in... the UK.
Oh, okay.
What's released in Portugal, though.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, cool.
It's in Portuguese, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I thought that's awesome. Can we play that?
Yeah. Maybe one day.
So I did that. I haven't really picked up anything else, to be honest. I did get myself a SNES Classic, or a SNES Mini. What are they? Well, it is a classic, right?
Super Nintendo Classic Mini, yes. Is it?
I think so.
I'm not sure what it's called.
Yes. One of them little Nintendos.
One of them popular things. I was offered one this morning.
You were.
A friend of mine was able to get hold of me one for, you know, the standard retail price. But, you know, I hadn't wanted one. And then I thought about it for a bit. And I double-checked the games, what games are available. And I was like, well, I have most of them already. Yeah. And not like the physical cart. I actually have them downloaded on the Wii U. Some of them I have the carts for.
I have most of them on cart, I think.
So I just, honestly, I couldn't justify it. I could buy three or so games I'm missing off the eShop.
Yeah.
For a fraction of the price.
You want me to do that sooner rather than later, though, because
Well, no, I'm talking about the eShop.
Yeah.
Wii U eShop, yes. As opposed to the Wii.
The Wii Shop.
Wii Shop, yeah.
I need to buy some things off that Wii Shop
before it goes.
Because,
yes, that's the other big news at the moment. The two things are sort of related, I see it.
They are,
like this,
yeah.
Because... before the Wii Shop channel was the way you would be able to get a digital copy of a classic Nintendo game.
Yes.
I bought a fair few, and then when the eShop came around on the Wii U, I also bought those ones I was missing, such as Super Metroid or Link to the Past or Mario World. You see, I've kind of got that experience already, so for me at least, the Super Nintendo Mini isn't a viable thing for me to purchase, as cute as it is.
Yeah, exactly, and that's kind of half the thing for me. I really want to play Star Fox 2, which I'm sure by now has already been dumped as a ROM, and you could probably download the full version of that game.
Cartridges are on sale on eBay.
Yeah.
People have already put them on cartridges.
Oh, good. That's good to know.
But it's about £40, I think, they want for them. Something like that. So there will be other ways of playing Star Fox 2, but I've heard there's going to be a few more of these about.
Supposedly.
The wish this time around, because I think that, as I said before in the podcast, the thing this is really, the market this is designed for, won't necessarily get hold of one, because the fans are going to get them, the hardcore gamers before. And
I mean, not even that, though. It's like, I was on Facebook, and there's so many people who are literally posting pictures off of their car seats. So they must have driven out in the morning on Friday, bought them from their local Argos.
Yeah, no, that is the worst thing. I'm not saying everybody should buy it if they want it.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're just buying it to resell it at an inflated price, then that is just wrong.
And everyone was just trying to, like, sell them for £200. And I was just like,
it's crazy. And I hope that they have enough of them out there to make these resellers not make the profit that they hope.
And that would be great, because that happened with the PlayStation 3, and nothing brought a bigger smile to my face. Yeah. Seeing people with like those £500 consoles that they thought everyone was going to rush out and want.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Let's hope a similar thing happens with the Super Nintendo Mini. But I do find it slightly odd that people already own all these games already, want to buy it.
It's because it looks nice. It's the only reason. I mean, like,
for my logical brain, I can't. I honestly thought about it and I said, no, I can't. It's just things I can't justify.
I do not have a CRT at the moment. For me, it's much easier than having to set up these things. But as I was telling you off
but
the air,
do you have things like Super Mario RPG or Kirby's?
I have Kirby's Dream Course. I have. Even have the Kirby Fun Pack, Kirby games.
I
do not have Earthbound. I do not have Super Gods and Ghosts.
Oh, but you have Earthbound digitally.
I do, yeah. And that's the good thing about this now, is that I can actually finally pack away my Wii U. There are games on it that I would still like to play someday, such as Xenoblade Chronicles X, and I would like to finish Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I've also got Bayonetta, which I still haven't touched, the second one. However, there are way too many games, and as I stated previously on the podcast, I'm hoping to maybe slow down playing games a bit next year.
Like me?
Yes. So I'm just trying to like barrel through the ones that I've bought this year that I really want to get onto.
The problem I have is because I do the Paris pickups, it means that time I've got allocated for playing games is taken up with recording footage of these four games I've got in the last week.
Yes.
So I play a bit of everything, but I never end up spending a lot of time on it. I guess if the game really grabbed me, and it's easy to play Persona on the plane or on a journey because there's nothing else to do much, you know, I can allocate that time to it.
And I mean, I will be going back to Wales at some point in the next couple of weeks, and I will pick up Odyssey while I'm there, and I'll play Odyssey. That Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, we're talking about that. Yeah, well, yeah. I'd like to get that. That'll make me get a Switch, I think, for sure.
Yeah, but there are a few bits.
But I'm still loving the Wii U. And I'm still buying games for Wii U.
I saw.
Yeah. I'm going to do Paris pickups on these four purchases I got recently. And they are Wii Sports Club. I got that for about £20. That game is reasonably expensive now on the second-hand market. Mine, is it an Australian copy?
Yes,
I think
it is.
So, which makes it worthless to people for
It needs to be UKV, Tom.
What else have we got? We've got Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Yep, great game.
Special edition. Australian. And then we have Deus Ex, Mankind Divided, Director's Cut.
Yeah, which I've always wanted to pick up because I never played that.
Very interesting game. And the other one, Watch Dogs.
Yes.
But both of those are PAL, regular UK ones. Now, what do you think of Watch Dogs?
A game so bland that I never picked up the sequel, much like everyone else.
Mm.
I beat it.
It's got some appeal so far. I think it's a little different.
Yeah,
at the beginning, at least.
It will become incredibly repetitive. Aiden Pierce is a fucking terrible character. And yeah,
so his niece has been killed.
Yes.
He is a criminal and he is stealing money off people.
Yes.
Right, so automatically he's a bad guy.
Yes.
And then his niece gets killed. And now he's on the revenge mission.
Yes.
But now he's a good guy. But he's still stealing money off people.
Yeah. He's just a douchebag. Like, he's not relatable or likable in any way. Mm. And most of the people that end up surrounding you are also kind of the same vein.
But he's wanting to do nice things for people. Like, if he hacks into the phone and found out there's a nasty guy who wants to beat them up, he'll go and sort them out.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still beating someone up to do that, you know what I mean? Like, it's got all the trappings of a video game.
Yeah.
Like, he's a douchebag. He's trying to not be a douchebag, but then in doing so, he is a douchebag. It's like the Grand Theft Auto trap, where, like, whenever Nico Bellic would try and be a nice guy, you'd end up, like, breaking someone's legs or something.
It's an open-world game, but it's got these unique mechanics into it, which at the minute at least seem quite novel. At least
they do
the hacking of things,
changing the streetlights and raising ramps and all this stuff.
But I guess I'll get used to this eventually.
You will, and that game will outstay its welcome, and you will have to use those powers way too many times.
Good job I didn't spend much money on it.
Exactly. I mean, it could have been worse. That was the title that I really wanted on my PS4 when it came out, and then it was delayed.
It looks nice enough on the Wii U. Seems
I'm
to
sure
run.
It does.
Pretty well as well, although it does have on occasion some long load times, which are slightly irritating.
I think it did on the console as well, on the PS4, to be honest.
And I can actually, when you first get into it and you introduce these mechanics, I can imagine I found it at least a little confusing because there's a lot of unique things and understanding somehow how some of these things work. There's a lot of layers to it.
Yes.
you know, that are introduced to you right at the very start. And I was ignoring some things, so I didn't need to do them. I was just basically following the mission objectives. Mm-hmm. But there seems to be a lot to it. But I imagine you don't have to necessarily do all those extra side things.
No, you don't.
Yeah. So much so I can't even remember what it was. But I could have stayed longer in the area and done something else. But I was like, well,
no. Oh, well, I mean, like, it has the Assassin's Creed-style tower things that it tries to tutorialize you hacking things around, getting to the top of these towers so you can get more area on your map. Mm. And
Another game I was playing was Mankind Divided, Deus Ex.
Yeah.
And that is a very interesting game. Have you played it, did you say?
I have not. No, I've heard nothing but good things about it. Also, Human Revolution, the sequel.
Yeah, it's sort of like an RPG.
Yeah, it is.
It's sort of like Metal Gear Solid crossed with an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get asked, questions like an RPG. Do you want to tackle this mission stealthily, or do you want to go right in there?
You know,
at the beginning of this mission, I was in a helicopter, and I was asked, you know, do you want to go guns blazing? I was like, yeah, sure. What kind of weapon do you want? Do you want to go long range or close in? And I was like, yeah, I think I'll, you know, go long range for this. And I thought that was cool, given the choice.
Yeah.
But again, I guess you're restricted then, because you've only got the one weapon that you've agreed to.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, that game is, you were able to play that game, I believe, without killing a single person.
Yeah, you get given that option, you know, because he said there's lots of hostages in this situation. Do you really want to do this? Says, yeah, well, I think I better be prepared.
Yeah.
The one thing I do find a little bit confusing is the cover system, because I'm always pressing the wrong button.
Okay.
Basically, you press the left trigger, to kind of duck, stick to something.
Yeah.
And then, if you want to jump to other cover, you tap X. If you want to move round the cover, you hold down X.
Okay.
So sometimes I'm doing the wrong thing. And I jump out when I don't want to jump out, or I walk round when I don't want to walk round, and then somebody sees me.
Okay.
And then it's all over, because you haven't got a lot of ammo.
No.
If you get stuck in a shootout, you're going to run out of ammo, and then you're just going to be running round like, oh, I can't do anything.
Yeah.
And then you're going to die.
That's
so
a shame.
It's a tough game. Very tough. But there's something very satisfying about it in a sort of Metal Gear way. It's not only that, it's also in its presentation, it feels very sophisticated and Metal Gear-like.
Yeah.
And I don't think many games, apart from Metal Gear, manage to nail that.
No.
It's kind of that presentation and that grown-upness that it has, and it doesn't feel so gamey. It feels a little bit more, as I say, sophisticated.
I mean, it's got a lineage of being PC games. Mm-hmm. Series. So
of course, I played the original Deus Ex.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of sophistication in those original games, even I would argue.
A lot of choices. I mean, Deus Ex, to many people, is the greatest PC game ever made.
Yes.
Some people have said.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'd recommend it. And apparently the Wii U Director's Cut's a good version to get. You've got the gamepad, which is well integrated. They've actually taken some time to think about how they were going to introduce the gamepad, because it's sort of like your cybernetic vision in a way. So the way they present it to you is like that, and you see the map on there and such. And I think there's more you can do with it that I haven't been introduced to yet. But yeah, it makes it a very intuitive experience.
That's cool.
It also uses it well in the other game I've been playing, Tokyo Mirage Sessions, because you've played a bit of this, haven't you?
I
like the way you get the texts through the gamepad.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
I like the colours. I like the fact it's like Persona.
Well, yeah, you said to me, you're just like, it's like Persona. I was like, yeah, weird that.
Wasn't it originally some sort of Fire Emblem crossover?
It is Fire Emblem cross Persona.
And that's what it was called.
Well, it's technically Fire Emblem cross Shin Megami Tensei, but it's Persona.
But it isn't really Fire Emblem, other than the characters are sort of resembling some Fire Emblem characters.
The characters that you have as your personas that they're your mirages, right?
Yes, and they're quite personas. It's all like, we've got to change it just enough so it's not persona.
They are actually Fire Emblem characters.
Yeah.
And that is it, I think.
Yeah. Although it's actually about this girl who wants to be an idol, and then she gets taken to this world.
Yes.
And you go in as a friend to rescue her, and then you find out your other mate knows all about this other dimension.
Yes.
I'm not sure exactly what it means yet. I haven't played enough of it. I played about an hour of the game, so
I played a bit more. I think I got about halfway through that game, I think.
Yeah.
For me, it doesn't. It's a good game. It is very Persona like. It doesn't have the heart of something like Persona 4 or even Persona 5 for me. Mm. Though. That's why I kind of fell off it. I was also playing The Witcher at the time, and to be honest, The Witcher is just perhaps one of my favorite games of all time. Mm. So there was much more draw to be in that world. Than
you sort of lost interest in it because it didn't quite have the same sort of good characters and storytelling that the Persona, for instance.
No, yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. It feels like a Persona game. Like, visual flair and some of the quirkiness of it feel very Persona. It just feels, like you say, though, it feels very flat. It feels like it's trying to emulate Persona rather than being a Persona game. They couldn't go all the way with it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a bit of a bummer, really.
It's a Nintendo-friendly Persona game.
Yeah, it is. And, like, that's the thing. It's so squeaky clean, even within this world of, like, idols and all of this other stuff. Like, Yakuza 5 covers the same kind of territory with idols and Haruka and doing all these rhythm games and stuff. But, like, the conversations and the story is around it are saying, like, this is a really fucked up industry. This is something that all kids kind of aspire to, but they really shouldn't, because it's really questionable and it leads seedy places. And, yeah, if Tokyo Mirage Sessions could have actually had those same kind of conversations that something like a Persona game usually would.
Do you think it eventually gets there?
I can't see it.
No. But it's very colourful. Looks yes, nice. It is. Nice looking game. Although I think some of those areas you explore are a little bland. At least the first one I was in, you know, there wasn't much to it.
They don't feel as fleshed out as... But
then again, in Persona 4, the dungeons aren't particularly... At least the first one isn't very...
There's a reason for that, though. The dungeons in Persona 4 are procedurally generated.
Ah, right.
And so they are just putting bits together.
Ah, okay.
Whereas the dungeons here aren't, and they just feel very bland.
Hmm.
Especially like that first one is just literally like floating platforms in like a weird nether, right?
Yes, it is, yeah.
And most of the other ones are like that too, from what I remember.
Yeah, I was sort of imagining that's what it was going to be like.
You don't get the, like, Persona 4, like that weird... what's the first dungeon in Persona 4, actually?
It's like a castle.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, there's a castle.
And with red carpets.
Yes, everywhere. Like, you don't get any of that dressing.
No.
And none of the idol stuff seems to really actually...
I can see the battling, though, to be very similar.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In a satisfying way.
It's got the same battle system, and that was what kept me playing for as long as I did. I just didn't really like the characters. They're all very forgettable. It's just a shame.
Yeah.
I'll complete it at one point, I think. Like, I'll go back and finish it.
For me, it's nice to have, like, a home console Persona type game, because it's the only one I've got.
Yeah.
Other than I downloaded Persona 3 when it was, like, £2 on the PlayStation store. But I haven't got the room. That's annoying me on my PlayStation at the minute, because I don't want to delete stuff, because then I'll forget what I've got.
Yeah.
You know, because I've got so much. And at the minute, I want to play Silent Hill 3, I was going to play, actually. And it said, you need 3 gigabytes of space.
Yeah.
I won't play Silent Hill. Tell you why you wouldn't need three gigabytes
of space on the PlayStation 2, where that game came out and it's still perfectly playable.
I'm sure it is, but I have it, you know, rather than buy it again.
Yeah.
I could always free up some hard drive space, you know. Otherwise, it makes that initial purchase kind of void, doesn't it?
You seemed so happy to be able to play Silent Hill. We talked about it in work the other day. You're like, oh, it's getting that time of year.
I was watching the video of it online. It was looking really interesting to me, and I felt like I'm actually getting into some more slower-paced games nowadays since I started playing Persona to go back to it. So I thought, oh, this could be interesting. But maybe I can find a similar game to play. Or I can just free up some hard drive space. I can delete something big on there. Akami, I haven't played that for a while.
Yeah. you just wait a couple of weeks, it'll be out on the PS4, so...
Oh, it will, won't it?
Yeah.
Then I have to buy it again.
Yep.
That's the problem.
I bought it for the PS3 because it was like 69 pence or something the other day when it was on sale, so I'm going to buy it again for the PS4.
Yeah. So, you know, those games I've been playing on the Wii U, I've been enjoying. I still think the Wii U's got enough variety to make it a good all-round console still.
I mean, it's got under 200 games on that system altogether, which is a very small library for a Nintendo console.
It has shooters, adventure games, RPGs, party games, fighting games. It actually covers most genres.
Yeah.
It has... The closest thing to a golf game it's got is Wii Sports.
Yeah.
But so there are some areas which, you know, a little bit lacking in the library.
Yeah, but I mean, like, to be honest with you, like, if you look at that systems library, yes, there are some bad ports. Yes, there is some shovelware on there, especially early on.
But not as much as there are in other systems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is a very concise library of pretty strong titles.
Nintendo released some great games for it.
Yes, they did.
And yeah, there's some good third-party games on there still as well, especially early on in its lifespan. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Black Ops 2 is perfectly playable. You know, you've got the both Assassin's Creed Black Flag and Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah,
I think Batman.
I mean, you know, Arkham things that were Origins. Originally developed for that console that eventually found their way onto other things, like Zombie U. For me, is
sure.
Not half the game it is on the PS4 compared to the Wii U version, because all of the suspense and all of the gameplay is in you having that tablet. Rayman is a credible game on that system. It's, you know, it is a system that I think the reason you're seeing like these prices of PAL games being incredibly high is because people have already cottoned on to the fact that this is a special system and they want to keep their games for it.
I think people look back on the Wii U quite fondly in years to come.
Yes.
In maybe in a similar way to the Dreamcast.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as much ahead of its time as the Dreamcast
of course. I think the Dreamcast, for me, is personally, because it came at a moment in time where I was very much into video games, more so than... I'm still, obviously, or won't be doing this podcast. But, you know, when you're young and you're being introduced to the 128-bit era, it was quite an exciting time.
I just think the Dreamcast has got so many, like, weird little titles nestled away, whereas the Wii U is very much like, oh, well, Nintendo were pretty much the only people releasing... for it for the last, like, 2 years.
Yeah, and the other things are mostly available on other systems. Yes. So. Apart from Tokyo Mirage Sessions, then you could just play Persona.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure Tokyo Mirage Sessions will get ported to Switch.
You think?
If Pokken Tournament is getting ported to Switch, I would see there's a good chance that Tokyo Mirage will.
Everything's going to end up on there eventually.
Yeah, I think so.
We briefly mentioned earlier about the shop channel.
Yes.
Had you purchased a lot on the shop channel from the original Wii?
No. To be honest with you, I owned a lot of the stuff that was originally there when I was playing my first thing. Like, I bought Gunstar Heroes. I think I bought some Mario games. Like, I didn't really buy that much. Mm. I've been meaning to go on there and buy a few things just because of things like Castlevania and Adventure.
Super expensive. Rebirth.
Yes.
So, yeah, there are WiiWare games on that system which aren't available anywhere else.
Yes.
And I guess when it goes, you won't be able to get these games. But I can see Konami maybe releasing some sort of Rebirth collection.
Maybe.
Because they released enough. They actually released quite a few, not just in the Rebirth series, but a few standalone games on that shop channel, which are going to disappear.
I mean, to be honest with you, I'm curious to see how easy it is to soft mod a Wii. If that's the case, if a lot of these things go away, I may just run a Wii as an emulation box.
Yeah, are they available emulated versions of these WiiWare games?
They must be by now.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's a very weird situation because it's like you've got to look after these games.
Yeah.
You've got to make sure your Wii doesn't break because then they're not preserved.
Yeah, you've got to make sure you're doing exactly the same thing of me every time I clear my PlayStation 4 of games. I'm like, right, PT definitely isn't ticked when I'm deleting these things.
Because it is a while yet until the shop goes down. I think it said 2019 in the statement by Nintendo. So you have got time to get on there and get what you want. Or maybe
2019?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah,
it's
a whole year. This
is fine.
But you've got to make sure you've downloaded the games.
Yes.
Because if you've downloaded them and deleted them later, you can't re-download them after that time. But yeah, for me, I spent a lot of money on there buying games, meaning I don't need to purchase a Super Nintendo Mini or an NES Mini because I've already done that. I've already spent that money.
You have. You've invested.
Quite a while ago because I was very keen on getting these games because a lot of the games I bought were very expensive physically.
Mm-hmm.
I bought all sorts of weird, wonderful things on there. A lot of import games as well, which were only ever released in Japan, which they occasionally offered on the shop channel, like Rondo of Blood, Castlevania. Yes. Pulse Man as well, the Mega Drive platformer game.
Is that on there?
Yeah, there's all sorts on there. It is like a wonderful, wonderful place.
Yeah, for
games. And Turrican, for example, the one on the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
That I got that on there, and that's an expensive game, as you very
Mega
well.
Mega Turrican, yeah.
No, all those fancy Japanese shooters as well, like, I can't remember the names of them.
I know the ones you're talking about. By
Aleste, is that one of them? No, Grey Lancer. There's a few things.
They're published by one company, right, as well. I can't remember who it is, but I know the ones you're talking about.
Yeah. So, worth going. If you've forgotten about that, get on there where you can, because it's a great place.
You got a year to do it, but...
Yeah. Get those WiiWare games. There's lots of good WiiWare. Jet Rocket's a great 3D platform, which is very impressive.
Yeah.
Done by Shinan, who did Fast the fast game, the fast racing game.
Neo.
Yeah, fast racing.
Yeah.
Which is a very generic title, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that fast racing game.
Yeah, but it's also like fast racing Neo and stuff for as well now.
Yeah. So you could get that version, but anyway, bear that in mind. Wii Shop Channel.
Ooh. I don't know why. So I've beat Yakuza 0, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. You've been itching to talk about this.
I have, yeah. You...
I haven't.
You haven't probably even played past that end of that first chapter, no. Have you?
No, sorry.
See, this is why. I was just like, oh, I'll wait for you to play it. But I was like, no, I'll complete this game sometime in 2040.
I knew you would.
Well, I have a confession to make, dear listeners. I was hungover to death yesterday, and so I was like, well, I'm just going to finish Yakuza 0 because I need the comfort of some big burly men beating the crap out of people because I can't really think clearly at the moment. So I did. Yeah, I think it's a very good game.
How does it compare? Oh, we want to hear how it fits into your top whatever Yakuza game.
I think I can't quite figure out if it's the second best Yakuza game or the third best. I really... 4 is still better than it. I like 0... but I also really like 2, so I can't. I think.
What about 1?
One was always the fourth choice behind Kenshin, anyways.
Okay.
But right, there are things I really like about Yakuza 0. The gameplay is perhaps the best in the series. The story is very good. However, the real thing that kind of messes with me is they've changed up the combat a little bit. So the systems work on a sphere grid, mm-hmm. which is something from Ishin, which is the second Samurai game that came out. I think I might have
mentioned familiar
this.
With this.
And I don't think it's a very good system, and it forces you to do a lot of side content to get moves, which is nothing new for the series. But I don't... They've kind of tried to make it so Kazuma plays like the three main people from Yakuza 4. So, like, there's a rush mode for him, which is like Akiyama from 4. There's a strength, like, brawler mode, which is him. And then there's like a super strong, slow moving grappling type thing, which is Saijima. And it feels really weird because Kazuma was kind... They were all kind of extreme bits of what you could regularly do with Kazuma. And he had his own dragon style in Yakuza 4,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of a combination of all these things. And it was just being built up over the years. But by making him a brawler, it kind of makes him a slower version of the regular Kazuma that you've played in other games. And yes.
Is that to represent that this is the beginning... And he hasn't got those skills yet.
But it just doesn't feel as fun to play as Kazuma. And that's a big chunk of that series. Majima's styles are weird. Like, he's got one called... I believe it's called, like, Thug Style, which feels more like Akiyama than his Rush mode does with Kazuma. But then there's one called... I believe it's just called, like, Baller. And all it is just you have a baseball bat, so you automatically have a baseball bat, and so I just played with that the entire way through because it's super overpowered. And all you have to do is pretty much, for those of you who've not played a Yakuza game, a lot of the combat in Yakuza,
you're going to be very confused right now if you
around the square button. So it's combos with square, so 3 to 4 presses a square button, usually followed by a triangle. So it's like 4 light hits and then a heavy hit. That for Majima in this style is essentially him just waving the bat around like it's nunchucks, and you can just go on as long as you keep hammering the triangle button, so it makes combat with him breeze and more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting, but it's, for me, the combat was the most irksome bit of that game.
Okay.
Which is a bit weird. Because I said, the gameplay is the best it's been in the series. Like, I think the way fights flow into each other and stuff is very impressive. I think all of the extra stuff around the fringes of it, like all of the mini games and the possibilities of extra things you can do. There's a rhythm game where you're disco dancing, and it's probably the most unique rhythm game I've ever played. You've got a 4x4 grid, and you have to move around the dance floor with a D-pad to get to the square with the button on and press the button still in the right time. And depending on how many squares you move in, you get more points, because it's as if you're moving around the dance floor before you strut your moves. Yeah. It's really cool. You can play Fantasy Zone in that game. You can play Outrun. You can play lots of things. The UFO Catcher, they fixed from 5, so now it actually works properly. And there's just tons and tons and tons of content in there.
Good value for money.
I played it for 30 hours and I'm just scratched 20% completion rate. And I was trying to, and I was like, no, I just need to get through the story.
I think we both got this game at a very reasonable price as well, didn't
we? Yeah, we did.
£25 mark?
Something around that.
27?
Yeah, yeah, I think I paid a fiver for it because I got it from an Amazon voucher.
Oh, so nice. Yeah.
I got it for my birthday, so it was all good.
It sounds great.
It is.
And I should really get back
on it
at some point.
The weird thing is, though, and I will give this as a fair warning for those of you who are just like, yeah, maybe I'll start with Zero and then I'll work my way through the series, is that Majima's kind of the main character of this. Kiryu's plot, for me, isn't really that essential to anything that happens in the Yakuza series.
And that's all I've seen so far.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a good storyline, but it doesn't really make any sense. And Majima is very much contained and feels very, like, in control of himself, which he doesn't
Which one's Majima?
Majima's the guy with the eye patch
weird
haircut.
Yeah, okay.
So he's very, like, he's still tough as nails, but he's very self-serious. And it's like, okay, this is very interesting because you actually feel things to this character.
You haven't got
you don't.
To play as him before, or?
No, no. You could play as him briefly in Dead Souls, where he was crazy and shooting zombies. I enjoyed that. But he's very, like, self-serious, and the shit that's happened to him in this game is actually a big spoiler for Yakuza 4. And so it's weird that they reveal that right out of the gate. Because I was like, well, you've kind of taken away this big reveal from Yakuza 4 now for people who want to play the series later, and I think it'll actually impact a lot of people's feelings towards that game. And then...
So you wouldn't recommend necessarily playing this one as your first Yakuza experience?
Because... To be honest with you, like, once I'd beaten it, like, as much as I really liked this game, I went into playing Yakuza Kiwami because I was like, oh, well, I hear that they've added a lot of stuff to this remake of the first game that kind of adds into Zero and kind of tries to build upon it for people who aren't that familiar with the series and tries to make them gel a bit better because it is a bit disorientating because Majima isn't like how you know Majima and Kiryu's story doesn't really matter that much. But it does introduce a lot of people who are players in the first Yakuza game but aren't necessarily around for a long time.
Yeah.
Sorry, spoiler for Yakuza, at this point, 12-year-old game. There's a character, for example, who's the third chairman of the Dojima clan called Sera. He is in Yakuza 0, and he does some other things back when he's not the head of the whole clan.
Yeah.
And he dies within the first chapter of the first game. Now, it kind of builds up this relationship between him and Majima and also with Kazuma.
Mm-hmm.
But then you play the remake of the first game, and it is very much still the first game. Things happen, like, you meet Majima, he has no fucking idea who Kiryu is, he's absolutely, like, dialed up to 11, batshit insane, and, like, super violent, which isn't really what Majima was either in Zero or later becomes in that series. And so that feels really off tonally. And then this guy dies, and there's no payoff of that relationship that they built up in Zero. And so I was just like, well...
Of course, because they can't change it too much, unless they were actually considering really changing the game up, which, from what I understand, they haven't done.
No, man, no. Like... it was kind of nice when I did last week's Biographic. There is a very subtle edit that I did in there.
I've seen it.
The chair, the flicking from the PS2 to the PS4. Mm. Because it is literally shot for shot. Like, all of the cutscenes are identical. Like, even the weird guy in the prison in the first chapter who tries to kill you with two forks is holding the forks in the really awkward angles that he was clearly only doing because of PS2 polygons. Okay. It's almost as if they've got, like, a rotoscoping software and just, like, made sure it's frame for frame accurate.
You haven't spent too much time or money on it, perhaps.
Well, I mean, not necessarily that. There's clearly a very high level of polish. It's clearly...
But they haven't reinvented the wheel,
no,
so to speak.
No. It's on Yakuza 6's engine, so they've taken over the battle system from Yakuza 0 as well. So you do have all of these styles. There's Brawler, there's Rush. And
so in that respect, it is different.
Yeah, and it makes it feel a lot slower than the Yakuza one I remember. Also, it's got this Majima Everywhere mode, which is essentially after you get out of prison, Majima kind of attacks you and beats you up and says, like, oh, well, you need to get stronger because I want to fight you.
Mm.
And that's one of the end battles of that first game. So he's saying, like, hey, I'm going to come at you and I'm going to train you and I'm going to make sure you get stronger.
Mm.
And by doing that, you unlock the dragon style. Yeah. As you play through the game.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you first played that game, you always had the dragon style. Yeah. And so playing as the brawler, which is the slower version of that thing that was already in the first game, mm-hmm. is kind of making me like it a bit less than the first game.
That's interesting.
Also, Nishiki's a dickhead. And I kind of forgotten how much of a dickhead Nishiki is, because he's kind of a cool character in Yakuza 0.
He's your brother.
He's your bro. He's your sworn brother.
He's because, the one you're chatting with at the beginning.
Yes.
Zero.
Yeah. Who's actually kind of a cool dude in that.
Yeah, he is.
But like I said to you on the last podcast, I remember him being a massive douchebag, so I was curious to see how it played out. And yeah, he's just a massive, massive prick in Yakuza 1. And I'm kind of like, I wish you hadn't shown me this side of him, because this side is not reflected. Mm. Like, you understand a bit more why Kazuma liked him and when... Yeah. It kind of comes out of prison and he's just this massive dick. Kazuma's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Mm.
But it feels weird. It feels like they're trying to retcon a 12-year-old game.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel very graceful.
Mm. I still haven't got it, you know. I was going to get this... what's it called?
Kiwami. Yeah.
I was going to get it and actually pre-order it on Amazon for a stupidly ridiculous price, like 23 quid.
I got a steelbook for like 20 quid,
They ran out of stock.
Yeah,
I can't get it. They're trying to source stock of it now, but it's been a long time.
Yeah,
and I don't think I'm going to get that version. If I want it now, I'm going to have to pay a lot more for it.
I've seen it in Denmark for 300, I think.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to pay a lot for it either. So right. I'm holding out that Amazon get it back in stock so I can get it at that cheap price.
So you have Yakuza 1 on the PS2.
I do.
I would honestly say maybe it's just worth playing Yakuza 1 on the PS2. Like. Yeah. The only downside to playing Yakuza 1 on the PS2 is, for a lot of people, the voice acting is dubbed in English.
Mm.
It is kind of nice to have original Japanese voice
cast. And now it's coherent from game to game.
Because it's coherent Japanese. From all the games, because the Japanese voice cast has always been the same, and they just got people in to re-record lines.
That didn't affect my enjoyment of Shenmue and Shenmue 2, you know, because they both were done in different languages.
Yeah.
Because I've only played Shenmue 2 in Japanese, and, I still enjoyed the game, despite the voices not being the same as they were.
No.
In the original.
Yeah, so I... Honestly,
okay, so if I can't get hold of a copy, then it doesn't really matter. You see,
I don't think it's
a priority of mine at the minute, but if it comes in stock and I can get it for that cheap price, then I'll hopefully...
Right, this is the thing, like I said. They probably will, though, because I missed out on that first run of Yakuza 0 when you bought it for 25 quid.
Yeah.
And then when they did get it back in stock, it was 25 quid again. Yeah. But it took a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So you should be all right.
I hope so, but I think the fact that it's a steelbook means it might not get steelbook in stock, so I might just wait till they drop the
regular
one.
Hey man, like, the amount of rusted steelbooks I've seen these last couple of weeks.
Oh yeah, I saw one in Blue City the other day.
Yeah, the Battle... Yeah. Battlefield Bad Company, right?
I thought, was that an effect? And I was like,
no, that's literally rusted, because we live in quite a humid country.
Yeah.
And that Halo 2 I got is rusted to shit. Like, on the outside, it's like little spells.
I mean, I'm not bothered about it being steelbook or not, but it's the fact that the steelbook that I bought was actually priced so low that I want to get it for that price. So
that's fair.
Yeah.
But all in all, I don't know if I want to play through it. Like, I was expecting...
Ooh, shocking.
No, it isn't really. It's just like, I played that game...
Yeah.
Less than a year ago.
Because it's so similar.
And the only reason I want to play it again is because I want to see how they try and tie it back to Zero, how they try and weave this back together.
It's not up to some sort of Yakuza fatigue now.
No, it definitely isn't.
Because that's all you play, really, isn't it?
No,
mostly.
I've played some stuff.
You
in
played
between.
Destiny, I know.
I did.
Game Boy games.
Yeah, I've played some more Destiny. I'll talk about that in a bit. But I don't know, like... I really like the story, but having played 4, having played 0, I kind of realise how far the series has come, and I was afraid of this, and this is why I didn't start with 0. And so I feel like I've earned the right to play this game.
Now you can just look forward to 6.
Yeah, and the remake of 2. Because that would be the true test. Because I fucking love Yakuza 2.
Yeah.
And I want to know if Yakuza 2 is actually any good or not. Like...
Mm. I actually watched some footage from Yakuza 6. So I wanted to see what Takeshi Kitano looked like in it. And it looks like there's some very cool stuff concerning him.
See, the weird thing is, right, I've heard a lot of people in Japan say Yakuza 6, perhaps they shouldn't have made it and perhaps they should have made a new protagonist, which has me a little bit worried.
Oh, dear.
But at the same time, I've also read some shit online that people didn't like Yakuza 4, and then I think they're clearly wrong.
Yeah.
My running theory is much like, well, actually, the inverse of... No, it is the same as Star Trek movies, that even-numbered Yakuza games are the best.
Mm. They say this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for the most part, I think it is true.
Yeah.
That there was even... I think it's a coincidence.
Yeah, probably but, is. But, I mean, you know, going back and playing 1, and admittedly it is the game that started this all... I do genuinely think 0-4 and...
I like Star Trek 1. I like the motion picture.
It was all right. Like that, showing the Enterprise at the start, that big crawl of that big model is really cool.
I still think that's a good film.
Yeah, it was all right. I didn't mind it. I'm not a Star Trek fan. I watched it and I enjoyed it. Yeah. So I did prefer Wrath of Khan, though.
Most people do.
Exactly. You been playing anything else?
I played a bit of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
Oh, really?
Because I went over Cody's yesterday. Cody's a mutual friend and invited me over before we played some Pokemon cards that evening to play this. And I really enjoyed it. I'm still not getting it right away.
Did he buy a physical copy?
He's got it, yeah.
Good, because I want to borrow it so I may play
Xbox.
Through the story. I have an Xbox,
you
that's
do,
okay.
Don't you? Yeah, you do. I was a bit reluctant at first to play it on Xbox because I wasn't sure if I'd like the controller, the D-pad being down like that. Actually, it's not so different from a Dreamcast or a Xbox 360 controller.
Oh, really?
So actually, it was quite all right to play it like that. And I think I will end up getting it on Xbox One so I can play Cody online. Because at the moment, he's the only person I know who's got the game.
Yeah, me too, actually. I've not heard of anyone picking it up.
I think I'd get it on Xbox if I had to choose. It's the same with Dragon Ball Z Fighters as well. Dragon Ball Fighters.
That Z. Are you talking about the one
the new
out?
One coming out? Because I know Cody's going to get it on Xbox.
I'm going to pick that up on PS4.
Okay.
That looks pretty good.
Get an Xbox? Can we, the three of us, get an Xbox?
I mean, I could, theoretically, because then I could use my Fight Stick.
Xbox Fight Stick?
Because my Street Fighter Cross Tekken one is for the 360, not for the PS3.
Can you use 360 on Xbox
you
One?
You can, yes. Thanks to the people who made Killer Instinct.
Oh, great, yeah. And it's the same with PS4, though. If you've got a PS3 stick, then you can
Yeah,
use
but
it.
I don't. I don't.
Get it on Xbox. We'll get an Xbox.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Why
maybe
not?
I will. I mean, in all fairness, I have no fucking games for that system anyway, so yeah, maybe I should.
Did you get Cuphead?
I didn't. I'm going to
I know
it up.
That. Why did I ask you?
I don't know. Because we're on a podcast now.
The podcast.
Yes, you did.
I didn't get Cuphead either. I've been watching some bit of gameplay from it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it looks good. It's very hard, and I know that. A little bit off-putting, perhaps, the difficulty level on that game. But also, at the same point, that's also some of the appeal of that game as well. But from a visual standpoint, presentation, it's quite unique. And I'd love to give it a go, but I don't want to buy it right now.
How
it's quite
much
expensive.
Is it?
It's 16-something on Xbox Gold.
That's... No, I mean, I haven't even got Xbox Gold.
I think
so it's probably going to be like 20 quid
about
then.
20.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. I'm probably end up picking it up. That's one of the few games I've still kept an Xbox One to have. That and
it
Sea
was
of
a
Thieves.
Game that I was like from the beginning. Cuphead.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it.
And then when I found out it was just a boss rush, I was like,
it isn't now. They've put levels in.
They've put levels in. I think that was why the game got delayed, wasn't
yes.
it? And I mean, there's not necessarily anything wrong with it being a boss rush. But...
Well, yeah, there's kind of expectations for that kind of game, isn't there?
Yeah.
When you see it, but.
And actually, the bosses look like the most interesting creative part of the game.
Well,
you know, the platform sections are pretty straightforward from what I can see.
As would be the case when you rush them in halfway through development. But
and there aren't so many of them, I don't think. But I don't know until I've properly played it. I've got so much at the minute, it's another one that I've put on the back burner for now.
I would like to play Nier Automata. To be honest with you, My pile of shame at the moment isn't actually too bad.
Well, you're good at getting through it. I'm quite the opposite.
Yeah, but the reason I'm good at getting through it is because I've been playing a ridiculous amount of video games this year that I hope to amend next year and just pretty much play one or two things and whatever Game Boy game comes out for that week that I'm doing on the channel.
Mm-hmm.
So my pile of shame at the moment, like I said, is actually pretty reasonable. I got Mario Rabbids, I got Puyo Puyo Tetris, I got Splatoon 2.
Well, Puyo Puyo Tetris isn't something necessarily complete,
yeah,
though,
but
is
I mean,
it?
It's got a story mode. Yakuza 0 I've ticked off, I got Nier Automata, I got Gravity Rush, and I've got Yakuza
Gravity
Kiwami
Rush 2?
Deuce, yes.
Yeah.
I beat the first one.
God, I wouldn't like to list my pile of shame.
Yeah, I mean, hey, this is like of this generation. If I were to go back and say PS3 games and PS2 games and all the rest of it, it would be a lot longer, obviously, but my current stuff is that low. And to be honest with you, I still haven't bought Pyre yet, even though I should, because it's on sale at the moment. Yeah. Purely because I'm just like, well, I need to get through the console
Two
games I've got
on
first.
Sale at the minute.
I've got it. I got my Steam code. You should get it. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah, it's £12.
Yeah, it also comes with a VR version, so if you ever went down that road.
You know what? I have no interest in the VR.
I mean, I like VR. If I ever see that headset in a flea market for like 800 krona, I'll definitely buy it.
I don't know how popular it really is right now.
I mean, not in Denmark. In the rest of the world, pretty. In Japan, still, you can't get them for love nor money.
It's still popular.
Yeah, and the US too, I think.
Interesting.
Super hot. Super hot.
But then you should getting play super hot is just getting another game. And right now,
in all fairness, though, it's not very long and it's very fucking good. It is the kind of game, dare I say, that Tom Parry could easily complete.
Thank you.
No, but I mean, like, honestly, I think it's good enough that you will want to keep playing it.
That's a good point.
And also, it's short enough that you will actually beat it.
Yeah.
So I think that would be money well spent from you because you'll actually see the experience through to the end.
And again, I haven't finished Little Nightmares, or I've never finished Journey, believe that.
Oh boy, really? Marta's finished Journey. Marta doesn't play video games, yeah. You should finish Journey.
What about that game Everything? Have you seen that?
On sale at the moment. Yeah. I was tempted to pick it up.
But I don't really understand exactly what it is. I don't think it's a traditional game at all. It's sort of like...
I hear it's essentially Katamari with a guy talking over it about philosophy.
Yeah.
I hear it's a bit more of a gaming experience than a game.
Yeah, sure.
I'm curious to...
So it's on sale, so...
I kind of want to try it as well. It looks interesting to me. You know, depending on how this week of stuff goes off the microphone in our real lives, maybe that will be a good comforting game, but we'll see. Yeah. See how that goes.
Maybe.
Yeah. And I'm going to leave it at that.
There's so much stuff, isn't there?
It is.
So much stuff to play and so little time to play it.
Exactly. So it goes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, speaking of so little time, we need to wrap this podcast up, Tom.
Oh, no, Matthew.
It is that time.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, wow, that whizzed past.
It did, yeah. It's 57 minutes of podcast, Tom. Quality audio recording. So, comparing the podcast to the cake, how would you rate it?
Well, that's up to you, listeners. So, if you like the podcast, be sure to...
find us on a variety of places, such as on Facebook at facebook.com/ Tom and Matt Attack. Find us on Twitter at TMAcast and on websites such as blastprocess.com, on the Blast Process YouTube page, and tommattack.com/podcast.
May I mention, over on the Blast Process YouTube channel, there's lots of videos from EGX, which happened recently.
Yes.
Both Blast Processes, Mike and Neil went over there and did some interviews gameplay footage of some of the stuff going on there. So be sure to check that out.
That's you should.
Coming, and soon enough, there'll be stuff from the Play Expo as well.
Ooh la la.
So loads of content coming your way on the YouTube channel for Blast Process.
Also some Parry's pickups from you.
Oh, you know, and I try and keep that regular every week when I can.
In the usual places for me as youtube.com/biographic, you can hear me talk over video games, mainly Game Boy ones, but I did manage to sneak in like a minute long montage and love affair to Yakuza this week. So
have
I'm
you got any Yakuza posters yet, Matthew?
No, I'm not going to go that
when you
far.
Really love something, you buy
poster.
A poster.
If you really love it, you should set it free. Or buy a poster.
What about action figures?
I have thought about getting a Kiryu Kazuma action figure statue thing once I have completed all of these games.
Nice. And you'll get that special edition as well for Yakuza 6.
Do you know it's fucking sold out everywhere?
Really?
Yeah, I went on Amazon because like Amazon's usually really shit at getting these things listed on Amazon, especially for a Yakuza game.
I think they're really crap at getting stuff on time.
Yeah,
that's
probably true. To be honest, though, I'll probably have to pre-order it here anyway because, you know, it's glasses. I don't trust them shipping it. That, remember that copy of Halo Master Chief Collection I got sent? And it was literally, the case was flat because it was so smashed because they'd shipped it in like a little cardboard DVD sleeve. Anyways, I digress. Find us in those places, as well as iTunes, where you can give us a cheeky rate and subscribe.
Yakuza poster for Christmas.
Yakuza poster for Christmas. Okay, on that note, Tom, let's wrap it up. What do we say, Tom?
We say game on, Matthew.
We do, Tom. We do indeed.